All right. For those of you listening on the podcast feed, I'm getting ready to go live on YouTube. So I'm going to go with the normal rigmarole to see if we're going to start private or public. So it might take a little while before the show actually starts. Like, Christy's actually going to be late tonight. So it is what it is. But we are set to go live for episode 20 of Suds News. Since episode 20, yeah, something go. Rumble review. And all the other stuff that happened in Port Charles, New York. Let me go ahead and get that information up and running as well. Scooby-dooby-doo, where are you? There we go. And Trina and Spencer are off to Paris. Trina is off to Patty. Not. Let's just hope that it comes up as public instead of private and we can get ready to go. Okay, and it looks like it is set to public, so we are set to go. There's the chat. Gonna post the X, and we are live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Suds in the Squared Circle, Suds News. I am Vinny, and Christy will be joining us momentarily. She's running late with something, but we've got a lot to talk about, because we have a lot to go over regarding the big news with WWE. I mean, I did do a lot of Suds, Squared Circle news over the weekend, and or over the last week, I should say. We did go ahead and I did talk about all of Vince McMahon's scandals and everything. And I actually posted a Patreon exclusive video earlier today, patreon.com, and that is patreon.com/sudsandsquaredcircle. Go over there, sign up. It's only a $5 a month membership tier. And I also did put up my Days notes from earlier today as well as I watched Days. And I'll be doing more in terms of Days updates. I'll be doing Y&R updates, B&B updates, and so on and so forth over on Patreon. But we're live. We're live. So my name is Vinny, like I said, and Christy will be coming in momentarily. But let's get started on the WWE Royal Rumble. And Cody Rhodes, congratulations to the American Nightmare. He goes on to win back-to-back Royal Rumbles. The first time that's happened since 1998, 26 years ago. And that was Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Cody Rhodes wins, last eliminating CM Punk. Now it begs the question, because the other big news that came out of Saturday night was that CM Punk, or actually it was just no, it was just I was we were just notified to, yesterday that CM Punk tore his triceps muscle, and he is out now for 3 to 6 months, including rehab. So he's going to be out of action. He's going to miss WrestleMania. So, with that said, that's going to change the entire trajectory of what WrestleMania was supposed to be, because everybody knew Cody was set to face Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins was going to be main eventing night one with CM Punk. Well, now Punk is out, and Seth Rollins looks to, they look to be shifting a little bit. Seth Rollins came out tonight on Raw to talk to Cody Rhodes and said, would you rather go after the Hollywood belt, the one that's held by Roman Reigns, who's, maybe comes in every 3 months? It's just kind of a figurehead belt. However, or do you want to go after the belt that's working man's belt, which is the belt your father would have chosen, the one, the guy that's going to go out, the blue collar belt? And Cody's got a decision to make. So could we see Cody go after Seth Rollins and fight Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship? And then that opens up The Rock to face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And then that keeps Roman Reigns having the title. And then he could hold it through SummerSlam, through September, to go pa to pass over Hogan. Because I don't think he's going to get to either Backlund or Bruno. In this day and age, I mean, there's a lot of people that are getting sick of Roman's reign now as it is, and he's had it for 3.5 years. I doubt he's going to be able to make it to 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 years, like during the territory years of WWF time. So, it remains to be seen. I don't really care either way about which way it goes, because I think it's going to be a great WrestleMania no matter what, and I will be there. But anyways, thank you for coming in and viewing us and clicking on that link. Go ahead and click like, subscribe, get notified. Then the same thing with the podcast as well. Go over to your favorite podcast app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Amazon, all the other podcast apps as well. You can go ahead and subscribe for all of our shows are on the same feed. That's not only this show, Suds in the Squared Circle, which is actually Suds News, the mothership, so to speak, but you will also be getting Dockside at the Bay, as well as Squared Circle News. Everything is under the same feed, just like everything's up on the same YouTube channel. And go over and support our Patreon, patreon.com/ Suds and Squared Circle. Visit our website, sudsandsquaredcircle.com. And of course, as always, we are now an official affiliate of the WWE merchandise, WWE shop. Go over to sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestlingmerch. That uses our affiliate link, and we get commission. That'll definitely help out the show. And I do want to thank James Law Jr. for the Buy Me a Coffee that he helped out with earlier today. So that's fantastic. Thank you so much for that. It definitely helps. Okay. So, as you know, last week was big in WWE. I'm going to wait for the General Hospital news until Christy gets here, because of the simple fact that we need the one on need the interaction. The chat is open. Feel free to post, feel free to chat. Let us know what you're thinking. If you're here for WWE chat, if you're here for WWE news, there's a lot to go over. I'm not going to get into the graphic details of the Vince McMahon scandal here, because quite honestly, that's not for what this show is. I did do a Squared Circle News segment about it over the weekend. It was, I believe, Thursday or Friday during the day. So that is already up on both the podcast feed and on YouTube. Go check that out in the archives. I'm not going to get into that, because the language in that is just so ridiculously graphic. And I'm not going to actually comment on it. What I will say is this: what has to be done has to be done. And I'm going to leave it to the courts. Honestly, I feel it's going to be settled out of court, because that's probably the best way that it's going to be handled. I do want to bring up, I did listen to Jim Cornette's drive-through, and his what he posted on YouTube regarding his thoughts about the McMahon scandal and what happened. There was a lot of clickbait earlier this weekend regarding Jim Cornette and Brian Last and their view of what happened with Vince. And what it was the clickbait was, oh, Jim Cornette said that the victim liked what was going on. But here's the deal. He did not say that specifically. He said, why didn't she get out of there earlier than the 2 years or whatever? So she must have liked getting the money, and because he didn't pay, that's why she's suing. which is in essence what happened with the NDA. You know, she signed an NDA. She got was signed the NDA, was supposed to get $3 million. Instead, he stopped paying after $1 million, and now she's going to court, and now all this is coming out. So in essence, that's what Jim Cornette was pointing out, was that she enjoyed the money regardless of what was going on. Now, is that painting the victim a bad color? Maybe. And honestly, I'm not going to say anything regarding that because, A, I don't want to upset people or offend people. And the other thing is, like, it's not my place. I'm not a judge. I'm not a jury, or I'm not on the potential jury. I'm just a podcaster that read through the horrific report and really needs to wash my eyes out with soap after reading that, because that was insane, insane. Also, while you're watching, if you see me drink out of my awesome tumbler, if you want to get any, if you want to get any personalized or custom tumblers made, go to Creations by Riss, R-I-S-S, creationsbyriss@gmail.com. Check them out. And on Facebook, Creations by Riss as well, R-I-S-S. So check that out. Check out her stuff. It's fantastic. Okay. So where are we moving on to here? I did go over the Royal Rumble itself and Cody Rhodes winning again. However, here's the deal. At the Royal Rumble event, we also had Roman Reigns defending the undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship in a fatal four-way match against LA Knight, Randy Orton, and AJ Styles. Now, as we all know, Roman Reigns is the tribal chief. He's the one that's the head of the table, the head of the bloodline. This storyline's been going on now for 3.5 years. And you know what? It's the greatest storyline they've come up with. I'm enjoying what they're doing with the Judgment Day right now on Raw, which is great because they're the new big faction, right? So when you have Roman Reigns now coming in, defending his title, he's never been in a fatal four-way, or he's never defended in a fatal four-way. And there were a number of times where he may have lost the title. As a matter of fact, there is definitely a possibility he could have lost the title a couple of times. Of course, he got hit with the blunt force trauma, and LA Knight was ready to win, and here comes Solo Sikoa. Here's the deal. A lot of people are upset because it seems that every time there's a WWE Championship match, Roman Reigns wins because of Solo Sikoa's help. The outside interference of the bloodline, whether it's Solo, whether it's Jimmy Uso, whether it's, you know, Jey Uso back then or Sami Zayn, whatever. The fact is that Roman Reigns always has someone helping him. That's the point. That's the point of being a heel. Okay? And not to mention, here's what they're probably planning for. So obviously you're looking at The Rock, who is now a member of the WWE Board of Directors. And he's also kind of the one that, while you have the High Chief Peter Maivia, you had Rocky Johnson, you have, you know, Afa and Sika, the Wild Samoans, you had Samu and Fatu, the Head Shrinkers, or the Samoan SWAT team, whatever way you want to look at them. You know, you had Umaga, you had Rosie, Jamal, 3 minute warning. You had all these guys coming up in the Samoan bloodline. But who are the two biggest names to come out of the Samoan bloodline? Oh, let me forget Yokozuna either. But you have The Rock, who is probably the biggest name in Hollywood right now. Although he's had a couple of failed ventures. He failed to take over the DC comic universe with the Black Adam flop, which I don't understand because I thought it was a good movie, but I'm not a big comic book guy. I really only saw Black Adam because The Rock was in it. I'm more of a Marvel Avengers kind of guy. But that's neither here nor there. And, you know, The Rock is the biggest name in Hollywood. He's probably one of the richest men in America at this point, especially because he got a $30 million payoff for just for joining the board of directors of TKO. He's the biggest star to come out of that Samoan bloodline until here's Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns has fought his way to the top. And you'll have to excuse my voice. I've been sick over the past couple of days, so my voice isn't the greatest right now. So you go ahead and you have Roman Reigns, who is the tribal chief, the one who's saying he's the head of the table. The Rock comes out on January 1st on Monday Night Raw, cuts that promo. Should I sit in a booth? Should I sit at the bar? Should I sit at the head of the table? Planting seeds, right? Here's the deal. The elders, Afa, Sika, you know, and everybody else in the bloodline, right? They tasked Solo Sikoa with being the enforcer. Make sure that Roman Reigns keeps his title. So you're going to get that kind of interference until it's a steel cage. And even if there's a cage, there's interference. So you're going to see it. Does that mean that Reigns is unstoppable? Of course, because of Solo. Here's where the twist comes in. You're going to see The Rock challenge Roman Reigns for the head of the table. He's not going to go after the WWE title. He doesn't need the title, right? So you get The Rock in there, and he's going to go on against Solo Sikoa, go on against Roman Reigns. Who's going to interfere, right? Solo Sikoa. Now, here's where it comes in, okay? You're going to have Solo Sikoa come in and help The Rock beat the current head of the table and become the next, you know, the rightful tribal chief? Or is he going to help Roman Reigns? But here's the deal. The story goes on. Wait until somebody gets in Solo's ear and says, hey, the only reason why Roman is still the head of the table is because of Solo Sikoa. As you can see, Christie's about to join in. But wait until Solo Sikoa comes in and says, hey, Roman, I'm going to be the next head of the table, and I'm taking that title from you. There's the story you're trying to tell. So you're going to get the interference all the time in a Roman Reigns match because of the situation with the elders. Anyways, Christy, welcome. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for allowing me to be late. I apologize to anyone who's like, where's Christy? I'm here.
Well, nobody's asked for you in the chat, so I can't.
I'm sad. I'm so sad. No one missed me. Okay, I get it. I'm sorry.
Anyways, welcome. How was your day today? How was your week gone?
Busy. I think I finally come down from my high of going to New York to try to meet Austin Butler. So I finally, around 3 in the afternoon today, I was like, oh, now I'm feeling tired. It's finally starting to wear off, the excitement.
Yep.
Yeah.
I get it. I completely
understand. Then I needed a nap, which I took. So.
Well, that's
what I went to look for. And now I'm here. So.
All right. Well, this is, we're going to be getting into General Hospital the week of January 22nd until January 26th, 2024. Could you believe that January is already almost over?
I know. Isn't that insane?
It is crazy.
Like, the year always goes by so quick, and like, because we get so busy with our lives and watching General Hospital or whatever, that we're just like, dang, it's like the end of January already.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, so we've got a number of stuff to go over. Obviously, the new head writing won't take effect until March. We already know that. But the show has been absolutely fantastic. Oh, Chad, welcome. Thanks for the chat in there. Hey, Vinny, I've been listening to you the whole time. Talk WWE, didn't want to interrupt you and your flow. Hey, Christy, I missed you. So, Chad did say that he missed you. I can't hear you. Are you muted?
Sorry, I muted myself for a second to open up something. Yes, thank you, Chad. He's a good friend of mine. So, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Good. All right, so we do have a lot of stuff to go over in General Hospital, but it has been fantastic. We know that Nicholas took Ace, so now we're dealing with the after effects. On Monday, you had Esme go visit Heather. That's got to be the biggest storyline because it's all coming to a head now. Nicholas Alexander Chavez taking a break. He's off doing his Netflix show. You know, they did announce what his last air date was going to be. I did not read the spoiler, so I'm just watching as it goes. Because he is doing that Netflix show.
Right.
Which is going to be the new home of the WWE as well, or Monday Night Raw.
Well, there we
starting
go.
In January.
There's the connection. Always drawing those connections between wrestling and General Hospital. My life group leader tonight, and she's like, "What? Wrestling and General Hospital? What does that have in common?" I'm like, "Oh, more than you know."
Yes.
More than you know.
Exactly. But yeah, so he's off for a while. So obviously they're going to be writing Spencer off. But see, here's where we go now. Esme goes to see Heather. And now that Esme knows all of her memories and knows everything that's going on, now how influential is Heather over her? Because she's not somebody that wants to distance herself anymore. Now she's like, I need your advice on how to take care of this.
Yeah. She needs to learn from, you know, the one who does psychotic stuff, because Esme is like a young baddie, and Heather's been a baddie for a long time, and she knows how to do it and what to be done. So I found it interesting that like Laura came to see
Laura
Heather later and was like, so what can you tell me about Esme? I'm all for those scenes, and now we finally got Esme with her memory back, and I keep forgetting, how long was she without her memory now that she's acting like the big bad Esme again?
I think it's been about a year.
That's just too long. I feel like it took
too
long to make
this
happen.
It's gotta be about a year at this point. Welcome, David. So David says that Wednesday, January 31st is Nicholas Alexander Chavez's last aired day. So
thank you for that info.
Yeah, thank you for that information. So that's this Wednesday. So they have to obviously wrap this up moment, you know, very soon. But the fact is that this whole time, Esme is playing everybody. She's not coming forward. The only people that really knew that she got her memory back were Spencer and now Heather. However, you know, nobody accepted Spencer saying she got her memory back. They all questioned it. You know, because he called her Spence, or she called him Spence. Like, it doesn't hold a lot of water, but when
it doesn't. But he knew, like, intuitively, like, he knew, like, because he knows her, like, behaviors from that, and all, like, all the signs to look for, like, because he knew her before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just saying that reason alone was like, okay, really, just because she called you Spence? But, I mean, there was more to it than that, but, you know, it's not like Spencer's, like, gonna be able to really explain all the ways he knows it's, like, you know, original OG Esme again, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
You know, so it's fine. It's not the best way that they, you know, had him explain it, but it's fine. I mean, Nicholas is not really known for being eloquent with his words, unless it comes to Trina, then maybe he pulls out all the stops. But I mean, other than that, like, he's not going to be like, oh, it's not just because of Spence, blah, blah, blah. But everyone was kind of like, really? She's back to being a baddie? Like no one's going to believe it yet until things start to happen, which they're going to start happening now.
Oh, exactly.
Back to her bad ways.
But see, Heather tells Laura straight out, Esme has her memories back. And she's given her all this ammunition to get Laura to have Esme arrested to be sent to Pentonville to be with her. Like, she wants Esme in Pentonville with her.
She wants her. She wants to put her daughter in training on how to be a crazy psychotic bitch.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just floored. Like, I would think I wouldn't expect, you know, my mother or father to want me to be in prison with them. Like, you always want better for your kids.
Heather's lonely in there, I guess. She doesn't have anyone to play around with. So she's like, bring my daughter to prison so I can spend some time with my daughter and teach her how to be a crazy psychotic bitch and get away with it.
That's true, I guess.
That's kind of funny that she wants her in prison with her. I mean, I think Esme's going to try to evade jail time as much as possible. Obviously, she only got the 6-month probation now. So, yeah, people are mad about that. I would love to see people try to enact actual revenge on Esme because they don't feel like the justice system gave them the justice that they wanted. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, remember the fact that, you know, she's able to be tried now for the revenge porn because, you know, they dropped the charges at the time. So you didn't go into the double jeopardy because of, you know, her having amnesia. It's just a matter of now when to pull the trigger. You know, it's like, but now we see that Esme is freaking out because Ace is with Nicholas, and Spencer and Trina dropped the bombshell saying, oh, I would miss Spencer, but he's coming with me. So now she's freaking out because Spencer.
Now she's going to get real psychotic over that. And if you've seen today.
I did not. So I will see that later.
So you know where she's headed. So I'll just leave that at that. Well, I won't say anything more. But I mean, things are going to start happening now. I'm excited for stuff to start hitting the fan, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, because on Friday, we saw that Esme was in, no, was it Friday? No, it was Thursday. We saw Esme was in Alexis's office looking at her corporate credit card. And, you know, planted a letter from Maggie saying that she, you know, was in a new family in Canada. So that, you know, and then bought a ticket to Canada on her own credit card or something to that effect.
Not Canada. She didn't go to Canada.
No, she didn't go to Canada.
Spoiler alert, she didn't go to Canada.
She wanted to throw the cops off the scent because she's headed to Paris.
Yeah.
Chad writes, I had to laugh at Heather snitching on Esme, and it took Heather telling her and what Esme did to Kevin to know, Esme's definitely back. So Heather telling Laura.
She had no qualms about grabbing that big ceramic thing off the shelf and just whacking him in the head. I was like, okay. Because I fell asleep during that episode and then I had to go back and rewind it. Like, I had to go back to that episode because I was like, wait, why is Kevin in the hospital? And then I was like, oh, Esme did something. Okay, what'd she do? And then I had to go back and I watched the scene and I was like, she's back.
She's definitely back. again, I just want to point out that I did finally start posting stuff to our Patreon today. So there's two things up there. There's a Squared Circle News exclusive up there on patreon.com/sudsandsquaredcircle. And also, I did post my notes from today's episode of Days of Our Lives. So those are both up there. And I'll be posting daily up on our Patreon, so go follow us. It's only a $5 tier to help the show. And again, I do want to thank James Law Jr. for buying us 5 coffees, or 3 coffees on Buy Me a Coffee. So that'll definitely help for the show. And again, as always, use our affiliate link for WWE Shop, sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestlingmerch, as well as our own merchandise, which is sudsquarecircle.threadless.com. All right. So moving on, you know, Laura had a big week this week because she was talking to Dante at first about how to stop Esme. Then she goes to see Heather. Then they find out. Then they find, you know, Kevin being knocked out, knocked over the head with the ceramic ball or whatever it was. And then, you know, then she voices her regrets about how, you know, she doesn't want to have, you know, Heather, have Esme in prison with Heather. So she can't believe how she didn't see the signs. Let me put it that way. But we also had to, go ahead and see Tracy and Scott, you know, and that whole story. Because Tracy's on to Scott and Lucy.
She's falling for this.
Mm-hmm. She's not falling for it. Not at all. And I'm happy that she's not. Because Tracy's no...
Yeah.
Tracy's a schemer herself.
Oh, yeah. She got a scheme right back. So, I guess that's where Brooklyn learns her scheming, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
All the court.
Maybe a little bit from her mom. Maybe a little bit from Tracy. I'm not quite sure.
Absolutely. All of them. So, you know, because the other thing is, while Tracy and Scott are sitting at the Metro Court, Lucy and Martin walk in, and Lucy's continuously looking over there. Now, I don't know whether she doesn't trust Scott to do the job right, or she always wants to see, you know, what's going on, what's happening, because she makes Martin very insecure, thinking that she's doing something with Scott. And, you know, he's like, you know, you have to tell me, be honest with me, what's going on? And that's something that, you know, I don't know why Lucy is, I mean, I've seen Lucy for the number of years that I've been watching, but why is she so hell-bent on ruining, you know, Tracy?
Well, doesn't it have to do with the ELQ shares thing? A little bit, at least?
It does have to do with the ELQ shares, absolutely. But why is she so worried that Scott's not going... Well, I mean, besides the fact that Scott said he was gonna come clean.
I'm not sure, because I don't know all the history. Like, they probably had, like, a sordid history of, like, kind of being against each other, like, enemies in the past. So I don't know. Maybe someone, David, or someone in the chat can enlighten us on this whole
situation. Well, at this point, it's like, I understand how Lucy is after Tracy because of the ELQ and because of deception and all of that. You know, and that's why she set up this thing with Scott. But I don't understand why she has to constantly be walking over. Like, if she's in the same room, she has to hawk over.
I think that's just her personality. I don't know. I think that's just the Lucy way. I don't know any other way to explain it.
But it's like, Martin is here. Martin is trying to stay in a relationship with her. And she's constantly watching over Scott. So she's throwing the shade. She's throwing the you know, why... is, you know, she's throwing the mistrust. Let me put it that way. She's making it seem like she's watching Scotty because he's, you know, cheating on her with Tracy or whatever the case may be. So it's just another thing there that I don't know whether it's falling flat or not, but I did see when Lucy goes to the bathroom and Martin follows her in. And, you know, he's trying to find out what's going on. And she made a sign. She did say something like, "You are the man that I loved," you know, past tense. And that's when Martin walks out. And that, I believe, was Friday's episode. So she's screwing up her own relationship to get back at Tracy.
That's on her.
It is.
I don't really care. I mean, to be honest, I'm not super invested in that storyline. So I don't really care. That's just like a Lucy thing.
Yeah.
That's just what Lucy's going to do. So if she's going to ruin her relationship with Martin over that, then that's on her.
I agree.
She knows what she's doing. Yeah. So
I completely agree with you. All right. So Tracy obviously goes along with Scotty because he understands, you know, he knows what's going on. we did see, so let me ask you something. Do you think that they're looking to put Maxi and Spinelli back together?
Yes.
Okay. Are you a fan of that pairing?
Yeah, I actually like Spinelli with a bunch of ladies. I liked him with Lulu at one point a long time ago, and everyone knows what I'm talking about if you've been watching the show for a while. So yeah, I liked Spinelli with Lulu. I wanted him with Georgie for a second before she died, before they killed her off.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, Georgie. I love you. I miss you. So yeah, but Spinelli and Maxi was always that like pairing that they ended up being like endgame. That was kind of like Spinelli's endgame pairing like a while back.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like that to happen because the guys Maxi has chosen recently, you know, they're not good. She doesn't really know how to pick them lately. So it would be great if we could get Maxi and Spinelli back together. There was this whole conversation with Spinelli and Cody today, which was really interesting. So, yeah, I definitely think they're going there. I think that's definitely something that's happening because I think Spinelli is in denial that he could potentially have feelings for Maxi again.
Mm-hmm.
And Maxi, I mean, come on. He's really good with her kids. Like, it's not going to take
because
much.
Spinelli kind of thinks Cody is going after Maxi.
I don't know where he's getting that from. Because, bro, you're living under a rock. Cody's got to think for Sasha. Like,
well, first of all, Spinelli doesn't know Sasha very well. So he's never seen that interplay, as far as we know, at least on camera. But the other thing is, like, you see Cody come in buying new riding boots for James. And, you know, it's like Maxie's like, well, those are expensive. You know, you don't have to buy them. And
that's where he thought, yeah.
And Nina just bought him some, you know, for Christmas, but they were too small. And, you know, something to that effect. And then he had to end up exchanging them for a new pair. And
he's just being a good friend, but of course.
And the fact is, technically, he is their uncle, or cousin, or whatever the case is with that
the whole familiar connection. Stuff. Yeah,
but
stuff.
There's a family connection there, and he's kind of showing how he cares about that family, but he doesn't want to come out and admit that he's Mac's son. Obviously, we know he signed the document, saying that he was, you know, Leopold Taub's son for the money or whatever diamonds or whatever that Scott dreamed up or came up with that whole thing. So, I mean, he swore on oath that he was Leopold Taub's son. And that was after he found out that he was Mac's son. So, yeah, he can't even deny saying, oh, that was before I had a DNA test. But whatever the
I'm
case
just
is.
Happy they've gotten Cody past this whole like gold digger stage he was in.
I am too.
It's just horrific.
They have
like
definitely
I didn't like his
Cody.
Character at all, but now they've got him out of that and seems like he's actually willing to like put in some honest decent work doing something, you know, like working at the Quartermain.
Yep.
Whatever the whatever the, on the Quartermain
the
property. Whatever.
Stables.
Whatever her job is now. I don't really pay attention. I just know he's around a bunch of horses and
yes.
Like I just know that. So I don't know anything else about really what he does. I just enjoy his interaction with Sasha, and that's just been really nice to see that character at least evolve a little bit past what it started as.
Yes.
Which wasn't likable at all, I don't think, to anybody.
I mean, I always liked Josh Kelly, the actor, so I watched him as Cutter on One Life to Live, and I liked the character. So when he came in, I immediately took to him, and I liked the story that he had with Britt. But, you know, towards, because he had that internal struggle. Do I go after her money, or do I, you know, try to be this Leopold Taub's son and try to get that money, or do I really be a good guy and show this girl that I really care about her? And then because of the situation and, you know, Kelly Tebow leaving, he was kind of a man without a country, and then they started the whole thing with Sasha. So I'm glad they redeemed him.
Yeah, they did.
I definitely am. So
they did. He's more likable now, for sure.
Yes. So now we know that Laura, Dante, and Chase, you know, kind of jumping back to the Esme thing, they find out that Esme, you know, is, you know, going, or she supposedly went to Canada. So now So now Chase and Dante head up north. You know, they head up, and I think it took them, it might have taken them longer to get to Canada than Felicia and Carly in the Bobby episode to get.
Well, it depends where in Canada they went, because it's like
true.
Literally just a little drive, I guess, if you're in New York to go to Canada, but it depends where in Canada they went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did go up there. They were outside of an apartment. They go in with the Mountie, and nobody's in there. So they didn't find Esme. So now we have to, you know, we know that Esme is going to Paris.
She is.
I don't think we got any Chaelin scenes this week. Chase
no.
was on with the, I don't think we saw Brooklyn.
No, Chase has been, I think, with you know, working the detective beat, and I love seeing him in his element. He looks so hot as a detective, I gotta say. Like, that is definitely his thing. Like, I can tell, like, he's just looking good in the suit, showing up to work, doing his thing. It's really attractive. I will say, David knows this. I do love Josh Swickard. I do have a little crush on him, but not nearly as much as I do on Austin Butler. Austin Butler is like crazy level for me, because Josh is married and I respect that. And, you know, that's great for him. Austin's not married, so it's a little bit different when the guy's devastatingly gorgeous and single. And I have inner teenage feelings about him, but that's another podcast.
Let's catch up on the chat a little bit. Chad gave us a bit to go over. Really admired Laura's conversation with Portia and all the regrets she had about not seeing the truth about Esme. It took a lot for her to admit it, and we all want to be able to see the best in people. Yes, I believe they're going towards Maxie and Spinelli too. I didn't understand myself why Spinelli believed Cody had a thing for Maxie. Yes, I've actually come around about Cody, because I didn't care for him at the start. Agree, there's good chemistry with Sasha. I remember him as Cutters on One Life Live as well. Glad they redeemed him too.
I didn't watch One Life Live.
And I guess Dante and Chase went to Toronto, which happens to be Chad's hometown. I didn't realize that he was Canadian. Toronto is a city rich in wrestling history. It's on my bucket list of places to visit, especially the Sky Dome. Host of six and 18.
I've been to Canada a couple of times. I can't remember where I went. I'd have to ask my dad, but I want to go to Ottawa just because that's where Simply Nilogical lives. She's one of my favorite YouTubers. She just does live streaming now on Simply Not Logical for her nail polish brand. But I've met her, you know, like in Raleigh when she did a event with my other favorite YouTuber, Sophia Nygaard, and they did a collab. So they did a, you know, promotional event for that. But I would love to go there and just see what Ottawa, Canada is all about. Where does Christine go when she goes shopping?
Well, Toronto is definitely on my bucket list of places to go. And also Calgary, Alberta, Canada is on my bucket list of places to go. The home of the Hart family dynasty.
Fair.
David says, yeah, there were actually two Chaelin scenes. The wedding planning scene with Chase's dad and the actual...
Oh, right. That's right.
And then Chase in Brooklyn asked Gregory to officially officiate their
wedding.
They
did. And yeah, Gregory was a little hesitant. Had to take some convincing, but he's like, can we get a backup?
Right.
And
I thought that was a cute scene.
That was good. That was actually pretty good. I was like, well, when is this wedding? Could we get it Valentine's Day, maybe? Like, I just want it to happen, because they just took so freaking long with that.
Right.
Like, 6 months between the first and the second kiss. I will never forget that. I was counting the months, y'all. I was like, how long are we going to drag this out? I need them to kiss. I need them to get married and have babies, beautiful babies. I need it to happen, because I see all the things for them, all the super couple things for them, but they're just slow. It just slow to happen.
Exactly.
The pacing for them has just been the worst. So that's why I'm just like, can we just get them married already? But I know I'm going to have to wait. I will wait.
So, all right. So as we go ahead and move on to other topics, we see, all right. So I have never been involved in a surrogacy situation. So I don't know all the rigmarole around it and all of the, you know, all of the ways that all of the things that surround a surrogacy. But I think they're kind of rushing everything in terms of the Christina and Molly situation. Like, I was listening, and I'll preface this by saying I was listening to Pier 54, which I always listen to every week. Shout out to those girls who do a fantastic job. One of the reasons why I got back into podcasting was Pier 54. You know, her and their weekly update and their Port Charles 411. But I was listening to them about last week's episodes, and they did mention that a lot of times when it comes to the IUI, which is what the process that they're going with for, you know, Molly's surrogacy, is that it could take potentially 3 to 6 tries for most average people. So for Christina to inject herself or whatever with the sperm and get fertilized and find out she's pregnant all within a week and everything, it could A, lead to a false positive because of the simple fact that it could take, you know, a while for the sperm to fertilize, just like any pregnancy, but especially if you're inserting it with a turkey baster. But also, when you go ahead and, you know, do the hormone treatment and everything, and it could take a while. So I don't know. For those of you who are out there watching, listening, leave us a shout out in the comments, whether it's on the podcast feed or the YouTube feed. And you can also go to our website, studsandsquarecircle.com, and leave some feedback. I want to know, you know, what's a good average process for somebody going through surrogacy or intrauterine insemination, the IUI process? Because, and do you feel offended that they're going so quickly with Christina getting, you know, a positive test result?
I don't personally feel that way, just because I always knew where the storyline was going from the very beginning when they started with the whole surrogacy thing with TJ and Molly. And that's why they had brought, you know, a new Christina on. So I always knew where it was going. So I don't mind, because the pacing with other storylines on GH can be absolute shit sometimes. I'm just going to be honest. Like, so I really don't mind this meeting. This one up. I want them to speed up Chaelin a little bit. Like, can we get that wedding like Valentine's Day? Like, let's go. You know, I would love for them to just be married around Valentine's Day, you know, for February sweeps, and have that be on, you know, good. Because I actually have a Chase in Brooklyn video that I started making like before the I Love Yous even happened, because I knew it was going to happen, right? Yeah. I just had to wait, because GH makes me wait for everything. So that's how it is on soaps. You just got to wait. It's a waiting game with a lot of stuff. Yeah. So I want to finish that video. And part of the video, I kind of want to put in their wedding scenes. So I'm waiting for them to get married. So can you put out the wedding scenes so I can finish this video? Which is fine, because I need time to like get my computer stuff situated anyway. But I'm waiting on the wedding. So General Hospital executives, writers, you know, the new head writers, Elizabeth, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the other person's name.
Patrick
and Elizabeth, you know, just get them. Put a rush on it, on that storyline.
Well, if it's going to be a Valentine's Day wedding, it's probably already in the can.
I know, if they filmed it, but they probably haven't given it to me. They're probably going to make me wait till May, which is wedding season. So,
well, I mean, either way, you know, Gregory still apparently doesn't have a lot of time to live.
I know, right? Get a rush on it. We've got a dying man over here. Like, let's go.
Maybe
why aren't they putting a rush on it? Because once they said, oh, Gregory's dying, he's got ALS. He's getting worse and worse. I'm like, let's get on this then. Let's get on it.
Maybe that'll be a new shirt. Gregory dying for the marriage, dying for the wedding.
I don't know how I feel about that.
That might be in poor taste. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that might be. Yeah.
That might not pass the PR test.
No, I don't know.
Catching up on the chat a little bit. Josh and Amanda thought it was a long haul for them too, like you were saying. And then
Oh, wait, long
Christy
haul.
wants that Chaelin.
What do I
This
mean?
that was from David. This is from Chad. I know Christy wants that Chaelin wedding bad. She's like, come on, get them married now.
Get with it. Get with it, y'all. Like, let's go. Like, I need a general hospital wedding that's really lovely and beautiful and that doesn't have like some crazy dramatic thing happen in the middle of it. I just need a nice wedding, which Sunny and Nina, they got for the wedding ceremony, but then of course the big secret came out with the SEC to Michael after. But I mean, I just need one nice wedding, which goes great. Maybe there's some kind of hiccup with Tracy messing with Brooklyn or something, but I just need something. Like, I need something, okay? I need the one happy couple that's consistent and everything's fine and there's no drama. I need one couple that I love in their honeymoon period, and I need that to be Chaelin right now.
Well, one couple that's not in their honeymoon period is Robert and Diane.
That's just so weird for me. I still not into it, man. I just can't.
You know, it's like I like them together. I like the snark that comes out of Diane, and I like that she's, you know, no nonsense. She goes after what she wants. But then, you know, but Robert, in my opinion, now Robert's a smart guy. Obviously, he's being head of WSB and being a DA. He's a smart guy. Clearly, not when it comes to women, though.
Yeah, no, he's not. I still am like, he doesn't really know, I don't think, how to properly court a woman. I don't know why. He's had plenty of time and experience. He's up there in age, right? I don't know how old he is. I don't want to make any assumptions. But like, dude, treat Diane way better. And I don't even know why she's giving him a second chance, but she is. So you better not blow it, because I would love to see Diane slap him in the face if he messes up. Just saying.
Well, you know, he did mess up a little bit today, this week, because, you know, he had invited her over to, I think they were at the Savoy.
Right.
And, you know, he had her favorite song playing and they were going to have drinks. And then, you know, I think the biggest thing is when you're, it's similar when it comes to those people in relationships where one is a Republican and one is a Democrat. You don't want to talk about things where you're going to oppose each other on. You know, clearly when it comes to Robert and Diane, he's a DA, she's a defense attorney. He's trying to get criminals off the street. She's one of their biggest defendants, you know, especially when it comes to Sonny. So he was, you know, saying that he had DNA evidence. He finally could put Sonny off the street. And she's like, oh, think again, Buster. And, you know, and he pointed out, he asked her, he's like, well, is he just your client that he pays you, or is he a friend? And she's like, well, he's a client and one of my best friends. And she asked Robert point blank, is that going to be a problem for you? And that's where we kind of left them. Because, you know, and I kind of get it, but sometimes there's, first of all, when you're in a relationship, you do need to understand that everybody has other friends. You're not always going to get along with your significant others or spouse's friends.
Right.
There's 95% of the time, there's going to be a problem there somehow. But especially when it comes to a hot button topic like Sonny Corinthos, and the fact that Diane is his defense attorney and he pays her on retainer. But, you know, she also said, you know, no, this man is a friend as well. Right. So when it comes time for them to really get into being in a relationship, they need to work out all these kinks. And I feel like they're working out these kinks slowly but surely. And I
Very
know
slowly.
What?
Very slowly.
Yes.
You know, pacing.
But I also know that there's a lot of people online that are against them because they want Robert back with Holly or Robert back with Anna. Or
I don't know if that's possible right now, though.
I don't either. But I like Robert and Diane together, and I'll be the first one to say it. But I want to see them work things out.
Right.
And kind of come to that agreement, like, hey, we could be in a relationship, but your job is your job, my job is my job, and we keep things separate and out of the bedroom, so to speak.
We'll see. I don't have the, they're not my fave, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah.
I want to see Diane slap Robert, though. That's what I want.
He does have a slappable face. And sometimes it looks like his eyes are just not level. I don't know. It just
slappable face.
Or maybe his eyebrows are just not level or something.
He makes me a little mad sometimes. So he just his little mannerisms and just him playing around with Diane a little bit. I was just like, no, bro. No. Just no.
All right. So we ended last week with the Esme scene of being in being in the court, you know, and Trina kind of told her off. And we did have another court scene at the end of this week. The trial for Finn with his malpractice case, you know, Martin and Diane are the two attorneys going against each other. And see, here's the thing. It's hard. First of all, I'm sorry, but Michael Easton is fantastic, but the character of Hamilton Finn has as much charisma as a wet noodle.
Like, I know. That's why I wanted Finn and Elizabeth to work out so well, but it's just not there. I was hoping they would have more spark.
Yeah.
And even watching today, I was like, I want to see chemistry, but I just don't see it.
No, I just, you know, like I said, Michael Easton is a fantastic actor. I think he would have been a shoo-in as a Batman.
Yeah. Finn is not it for him. It's not Michael Easton's fault. It's the character and the way they're writing Finn is Finn look like a douche or something. It's just not
all there. Doctors have a God complex. Like all doctors feel like they know everything and know that, you know, they all their, you know, prognoses.
You know what these doctors need on GH? They need another Patrick Drake type character that would spice things up a bit.
And well, unfortunately, you know, unfortunately Jason Thompson is currently on YNR.
I know that, but if they had another character similar to Patrick Drake, if they made Finn a little bit more spicy,
a little flat.
He's just so boring. He's very flat. There's nothing exciting about him. And even with this malpractice case, I'm just like, you know, I don't even care if it goes in his favor or not, because he's just so boring that it makes me not root for him. I don't really care. I mean, I'm glad Elizabeth is in his corner because, you know, Elizabeth sees the best in everybody and loves to help out. And I love that's her character and she's like that. But I'm like, they just have no spark.
Again, thank you all for watching.
Spark. They kiss and they make out in the shower and I'm disgusted. I see no spark. Nothing. I would love to see some because I feel like Becky Herbst could have chemistry with a dog. So I know it's possible. It's just with them, it's like they're good. They have good like friend platonic chemistry, but not like anything beyond that. It's just not, it's not happening for me. But you know, I will take Finn over Franco any day. So there
and
is
I'm that. The complete opposite. I prefer Franco. I honestly thought that Franco, I mean, outside of their previous characters on One Life to Live between McBain and Todd Manning, I feel that Franco was the best character for Roger Howarth on GH outside of Todd Manning because Austin wasn't doing it. And, you know, and when it comes to Mike Leeson, I feel like once they got the rights back to the, you know, John McBain character from Prospect Park, they should have, they should have utilized that when they killed off Silas Clay. Or why didn't they just keep Silas Clay? He had much more charisma. Yeah, he was a much better character.
I mean, the whole reason why we don't have John McBain, which is our favorite of Michael Easton's characters on GH, is because of the whole Prospect Park.
Right, but they got
sorted itself out now. It's resolved, right? They could bring him back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would love that, but I don't think it's going to happen. They're just going to, I don't know. In GH, it's because of Frank. He does this thing where he brings back his, he brings his favorites on, his go-to buddies or whatever, and keeps, like, giving them new characters, and it's just like exhausting. Like, is that working? Like, is that working for me? Maybe working for other fans, but it's just, it's aggravating, especially when Michael Easton's had like what, three or four characters on GH at this point.
Yes, it is his, I mean, if you count the vampire, his fourth character on GH,
it's too much. Like, you're trying too much. Like Michael Easton's, you know, pretty talented. I'm sure he could go to any other soap and get a job. It's not like it's a big loss, but I guess because he's buddy buddy with Frank, you know, Frank wants to keep him on. I don't know what the case is. I always hear that, you know, like, well, Frank has his pets. I mean, I guess that's true, because it was like that with Roger Haworth too, and Roger supposedly another one of Frank's pets. I could be wrong. You know, please tell me if I'm wrong, and I apologize. I'm probably offending Frank if he's listening to this right now, but that's what I've heard, and just my experience I know with Frank is I don't think he cares about certain characters or certain couples. Like, when I went up to him at GH Fan Club weekend, I think it was in 2012 or 2013, and I was really excited, and I was like, I'm a big liaison fan, I host a radio show, and Lee Jason Elizabeth, blah blah blah. I don't think he could have cared less, honestly. Like, he probably was like, they're not on the agenda. Sorry. it's not on the storyboard. Probably won't be ever. But I mean, I just wish it just didn't seem like he cared. Like, maybe he was glad I was there and I was a GH fan. But as far as Jason Elizabeth, sorry, that's dead in the water to him. So it's fine. I've gotten over it. Like, I've gotten to the point where Jason's going to come back now on screen, and Jason and Elizabeth are probably going to have one initial scene, and then that's going to be it, and then I won't see them for a while, and it's fine. I accept that. I know what to expect with the pattern that's been the pattern in the past. But going back to, like, Michael Easton, it's just like, I wish the Finn character had a little bit more pizzazz about him, a little bit more spiciness, a little bit more unethicalness as a doctor, or he does something where he's making out with Elizabeth in the supply room or something, like pulling her to the supply room. I need some spiciness, even if I don't like Finn and Liz. I need some spiciness.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I need something.
Like, I mean, do you remember when Matt Hunter was on there and he and Maxie were hooking up in the closet, you know, in the linen closet?
Whatever happened to the closet, the supply closet that the doctors and the nurses would put to good use for other things other than the supply closet? Like, I need that supply closet to get put to good use on GH again, because that was like the glory days. But this was like 20 years ago when this was happening. But like, I need that to go back to those early 2000s era where everyone was just hooking up in the supply closet and like, oh, we've got a good 5-10 minutes. We could do a quickie while we're in here. Like, I need that. We need it. And we love Love in the Afternoon.
Yep.
Love in the Afternoon is why we watch, right? Like, give me some spiciness in the supply closet.
Yeah, and I think and that's one of the things that is one of the things that's lacking with General Hospital right now. And that's one of the things that people get upset about with the lack of Love in the Afternoon. And maybe that's going to come back with Elizabeth and Patrick taking over the helm as writers, because Elizabeth has been there for 30 years, you know, and she's been helping with every aspect. I heard that she favors Carly. So I hope that Patrick kind of evens that out, so it's not a Carly-centric show, even though Laura Wright could tackle anything.
Yeah, well, it's a Sonny and Carly and Nina-centric show, because those are the top three you see who have the most episodes of all the doctors.
Yeah.
Like, because that's who they mainly write for. That's like their top storyline, and that's what they spend the front burner storyline most of the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it, but I mean, I would like to see that evened out a little bit. Like, I always am a fan when they have Elizabeth on screen more than like two or three times a week. I'm like, oh, wow, she was on a lot this week. And it always kind of surprises me because they always kind of put her on the back burner most of the time. And even when she had a front runner storyline and always got taken over by the male that she was with, hated that. I don't know why they keep doing that to her. Rebecca can hold her own storyline. She could be her own hero in her own storyline. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, exactly.
No, I completely agree with you. All right, let's kind of move on a little bit. So why do you think Sonny invited Ava to the island? Sonny invited Ava to go to the island with him. You know, under the guise of, yeah, you know, you're in a little bit of danger right now. Let's get you out of town to relax a little bit.
Are they going for them again?
I don't know. And what kind of a picture does that paint for Ava, knowing that Sonny is married to her friend? And, you know, if she is going to hook up with him or whatever, you know.
That would be kind of wild. That would create some drama for sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That would,
I kind of would like it, to be honest. I don't know why Nina and Ava are friends, but I mean, whatever. They got to at least give Nina a couple of friends, even though she's a shitbag character. Sorry. No offense to the actress. Okay. Because Cynthia Watros is amazing, but yeah. And Nina, nobody likes Nina. Some people do. I will say some people do.
There are some
Nina fans out there. I'm just not one of them.
I Nina has grown on me like a wart, but it's just the fact that, you know, the portrayer is so good. I have no qualms about of saying that she's one of those people that you love to hate, because her voice, the fact that she takes no accountability, she's a true heel. In the wrestling business, she's a true heel, because she justifies everything she does. Even when she wants to be good,
she apologizes, she's right. Justifying. I'm like, exactly. No, that's not how an apology works.
She's apologizing for something that she did, but she's justifying her actions and saying, it wouldn't have happened if you didn't do X, Y, Z.
If you didn't do X, Y, Z. So, I wouldn't have had to do this if you had done X, Y, Z.
Or, I'm taking accountability, but you did this to me, so that's why I did that.
I'm going
to
give you an apology, but XYZ, which completely negates the apology to begin with.
Exactly. She is a true heel. So it's one of those people that you absolutely love to hate.
Love to hate her, which I think she's the sweetest in person from the videos I've seen on, X. Very sweet.
It's just so sad that people on social media go after the portrayer.
You know, the level of hate for her is about the same level that Gabby had on Days, Camila had on Days.
Really? Because
she got a lot of hate. Oh, my God. Especially because she got in the way of Chad and Abby for a while. So that was, like, a whole thing. And then she blew up the town at one point in, like, 2012 or something.
That was clearly before I was watching it.
Yeah. So, I mean, Gabby did her fair share of crazy stuff, just like Nina has. So the level of hate is about up there with Gabby. Maybe Gabby was a little bit more. I don't know if that's a good comparison. Anyone in the chat can tell me, but that's kind of how I see it. Is there's like a pretty fairly high level of hate for Nina and Gabby. I think they're about the same level. Like Nina's just done so much manipulation and deception and just constant justifying. And Gabby was like that too. Gabby had done a bunch of bad stuff, but she like also justified it.
Yeah.
You know, but she did it in such a way that was such so badass that I really didn't care, because it made it interesting to watch the show. So I really loved Gabby.
And you know, it's like when I started watching last year, Gabby was obviously still on there. And technically the character is still there, although she's in Statesville.
She's in prison, yeah.
Yeah. But like, it's weird because when I first started watching it, she was set to marry Lee Shin, who his portrayer, Remington Hoffman, was actually a guest on the 10th floor.
Yeah.
This past Sunday. That Very is good. Up on the podcast feed and on their YouTube page. Go check it out.
Check it out. Good. Yeah.
Remington Hoffman, right? Yeah.
Yes. I think so, yes. But,
So she was getting ready to marry him, and then it came back that Stefan was still alive, and you know, he had everything to do with Dr. Rolf brainwashing him and not remembering. And so it does, you know, I can understand that, but and I could see the parallels between the characters because mm-hmm. there's a certain type of whine, that voice that even though you're talking normally, you could still hear the whine behind it. And both Nina and Gabby have that voice. Gabby a little different because of the Hispanic heritage. So, you know, she's a little bit smoother of a talker, but when she gets into that whining mode, you could definitely hear it. And when Stefan wasn't ready to love her again because he was still brainwashed.
She was mad, yeah. She was doing things to try to make that happen.
Yeah, she got Rolf back and he hooked mm-hmm. up concoction with, she got him back and then Brady kidnapped Stefan and they tied him up and set up a microwave and a MacGyver.
That whole scenario is, but that's Days though. That Days is campy. They're very hokey. There's things that are just like really out the box and you just kind of have to roll with it.
Yeah. So just kind of catching up on the chat a little bit. I have not been ignoring you guys in the chat, so I apologize. I haven't been doing a lot of.
I'm not looking at the chat. Only Vinny is. So Vinny, I'm getting all that info from Vinny.
So, you know, Chad's chimed in a bit, so I'm not ignoring you at all. But, just kind of catching back up a little bit. He's still firmly in Robert and Holly camp. Maybe I'll come back. Maybe she'll come back again. But gotta respect. Vinny for going with Robert and Diane. I'm just blind out with Finn. I love Elizabeth, of course. She's a supportive partner, but she's carrying him. Caleb on Port Charles is still my favorite Michael Easton character. I didn't get to watch Port Charles a lot, so
I didn't either. No.
Really can't comment too much on it.
I've only seen a couple clips. So
with the exception of him reprising the role after Michael Easton first came back where he was playing John McBain and Silas Carr and Stephen Clay, Caleb Morley. Absolutely, Becky is a charm magnet. I agree. Outside of Jason, I preferred Franco for Liz too. Not everyone, but a large group of people feel like Frank favors Michael Easton and Roger Howarth and keeps putting them on different characters that people hate. Nina really is like a WWE heel. Good comparison. Now Nina is going full villain. I want to see what her next move is. So apparently she's teaming up with Valentine. They did have a scene together at Charlie's Pub. And I want to see where that's going to go to. I assume that story goes continues and gets a little further today.
Wait, so Valentine and who now?
Nina.
Nina. Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know, though. I feel like Anna is the love of Valentine's life, so I'm sure that's going to come back around and that Anna is going to get back together at some point.
I don't know. We'll see. I was never a huge Vanna fan, so I really can't comment too much.
Neither, but I appreciate the two actors in the scene and how they elevate each other and that the both of them in the scene, whether or not, regardless of whether or not you like them together, I think they're just good acting partners in a scene together. And I did think they had chemistry, even though I wasn't like a huge fan of them. So I'd be even interested to go to their upcoming Zoom event, probably just as a general admission. But I think they've got good stuff, you know, going on.
Absolutely.
In their scenes. So.
All right. So the second half of our title today is Sabrina is off to Paris. They did go to Paris this week. First, okay. Curtis, you know, he used the Savoy to throw a bon voyage party.
Yep.
It was a good party. And it was a pretty decent party, you know. Sonny came to visit and say hello. And, you know, Spencer told Trina and Joss about Esme and how she got her memories back, and Kevin and Laura weren't really happy with him because of giving Ace to Nicholas, and kind of that whole thing there. But overall, I think it was a pretty decent party. Portia, of course, said her piece about being unhappy with Spencer going.
I really love the conversation Portia and Spencer had, because I was like, finally, these two are one-on-one talking and not just with other people like right next to them. Like, I really enjoy that, because I was like, yeah, they need to have a conversation. I'm glad that happened, because Spencer was like, look, I really do care about Trina's happiness. And she was like, yeah, but trouble always follows you. And he couldn't really,
refute that.
Negate that. He couldn't, he couldn't refute it. So it was a conversation that needed to be had.
Yep.
And I'm glad they had like a one-on-one type conversation about it. So those were good. That needed to be done. And I'm glad that was addressed before
I am too.
For Paris. So.
So they did get to Paris. Of course, as soon as they get into the hotel room. Some people online were questioning why they weren't living together while they were out there. Spencer got a hotel room, or an apartment rather, in Paris, and Trina.
Yeah, I don't know what he got. Hotel room. I think it was a better hotel room than they had in New York, according to Trina. That's what she said.
Yes.
So I'm guessing it's a hotel room. I don't think that's going to be her regular place that she's going to stay.
She's going to be staying on campus.
I think this is the weekend before she starts her internship or whatever.
Yeah. That was my whole point and what I responded. I think it was more on Facebook in one of the General Hospital groups that I saw, was people were so upset. Why aren't they just living together while they're out there? Well, she's an exchange student, so she kind of has to live on campus. And Spencer, not being a student, can't. So he had to get his own apartment. It's as simple as that.
He can live in a hotel room, whatever.
Right.
He's got the money, so
exactly.
He can make one.
But it was funny how the bellman just kind of walks right in, with the charger.
Like, didn't you just knock? Like, can you knock first? Like, that's what they usually do at hotels. They knock when they come back with whatever you requested, right? Yeah. So it was weird that he had just walked in, and then Trina was like, man, he would have gotten a show if he had walked in a few minutes earlier.
So, I mean, first of all, they should use the do not disturb sign. But
yeah, well, they were too busy to think about that, probably.
But the other thing is, usually what happens is in a hotel, and I know because I've done front desk in a hotel, is they knock, they announce themselves, like, knock, 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 front desk. You wait 30 seconds. If you hear anything, you knock again, and then wait 30 seconds. If they don't, then you can don't answer, then you enter. You don't
That wasn't good etiquette. Maybe they do things different in France.
Yeah, I've never been to France.
It was a little odd, weird moment. And I was I saw Trina's like, this was my
fault. Yeah, exactly. Chad chimes in saying Portia wasn't wrong considering what we know about trouble following Spencer. The scene, the bellhop catching, and he was laughing at this.
That's so true.
And it's funny because some people, I swear, they just don't pay attention to dialogue. I swear, because there were some people who said, oh, well, the bellman came in right in time and he was carrying a bag. So, chances are they didn't have condoms, so now we're going for a pregnancy angle. No, Spencer specifically asked him for a charger or for an adapter. Like, that was the
I think it was.
Yeah, so that was the whole thing for that. So, I mean, it's some people, I swear, just don't pay attention before they comment. I don't know.
What are you going to do? Soap fans for you.
So I believe that's pretty much it. We've kind of gone through every storyline. We didn't. How about Jordan and Rick?
Something's happening there. They're starting something. Are they chem testing them? Am I wrong?
There is. But so, She Jordan hires Brick to find out who the calls are coming from, and you know he gets her phone number in his phone. Which, how the hell did she contact him in the first place? I don't know.
Through Sonny? I have no clue.
Yeah. So it's like, wouldn't he already have the number on caller ID? But whatever. He gets her number. He walks out. He says, gotcha. So, gotcha. Brick flirts with everybody anyways. He's flirted with Carly for how
long? Oh, yeah. He's cute like that.
And Stephen A. Smith is fantastic.
He'd just probably flirt with me, too, if I was on GH. So, you know. I don't know. I'm just making it funny.
But so, you know, Jordan and Brick and she's asking for his help. And then, you know, they meet afterwards on Friday and, you know, and he says that he got some information and we haven't really gone too much in there, but she also hasn't given him so much information about why she needs this, you know, number tracked or whatever. They're still looking at who shot Curtis. And there have been some crazy theories that Jason was the shooter hired by the WSB
to take out
Curtis.
Wow.
And the 10th floor actually put it out there that maybe Charlotte hired Curtis or hired Jason to shoot at Anna.
Wow. That's wild.
That is wild. Matt, I will tell you that is a wild story.
Wild theory, but hey, I mean, crazier things happen. I mean, it's soap opera. Anything goes, yes, really.
Exactly. But I like their chemistry. And, you know, people are thinking it might be a love interest for Jordan, but Stephen A. is recurring when he can based on when he's available outside of ESPN.
But Jordan's like a regular?
So. I believe so. I believe she's contract.
Okay. You know, I don't think Jordan's gotten any since that one night stand with guy a few months ago.
Yeah, it was Zeke.
Zeke, I don't know why that didn't go anywhere because they were freaking.
Like I said, I think he saw the gunshot and he got scared and left.
Oh man, that's too bad. I guess he didn't have enough balls to stick around. But
and he could have been another lawyer in Port Charles. He was Portia's brother, so I mean, there's already, you know, those ties there.
Why that didn't
I don't know
keep going. I just don't understand why they dropped that. Sure, give Jordan a love interest, I guess, or at least a really good male friend. We'll see where it goes, but I'm not entirely opposed to it because I think Jordan needs to be getting some.
Yeah,
we gotta keep it spicy. It's love in the afternoon, baby. Like, we gotta keep it spicy, so I'm all for it if that leads to something, you know.
Yep.
It leads to something. We'll see.
All right. So, you know.
And then there's maybe the whole Sonny and Nina living situation we didn't really quite touch on.
Right. No, we didn't go too far into that either. You know, because Sonny did bring Ava to live in the house. And
Sonny kicked her out, right? So she's living.
She's living in her old apartment that Ava was having until Sonny had Ava move in with him.
Uh-huh. So yeah. That's her point, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know. And then she's kicked out of the Crimson thing. So yep. The only job she's got going on right now is MetroCourt, right?
She owns a MetroCourt, yes. I've heard rumblings that Valentin may offer her a job at ELQ. I don't know how that's going to go over with Ned and Michael, and I don't know. So, I mean, we'll see how that goes. You know, Drew and Carly kind of talking, and Carly's like, I don't know the first thing about running a magazine.
Yeah.
And then also the fact that she's like, I like what I'm doing at Bobby's. I like running Bobby's, you know? And Drew's like, no, you can do both. I know you can. And Drew's just trying to, you know, lift her up and give her that support. But I don't know.
I think Carly could do it if she really wanted to run Crimson, but I think this probably is more of a temporary thing. I don't know if it's going to last that long, but I could be wrong.
I mean, who knows?
3 years? Maybe, you do 2 years? I don't know.
I mean, who knows? Maybe Lulu wakes up and then Lulu takes over Crimson.
True. There's rumblings about that for a while now too, so we'll see.
I have no idea, but all right, I think we've covered just about everything that we had for this week, for last week. A couple things before we get to our grateful, our thankful minute. Thank you all for tuning in. Go ahead, hit the like button, subscribe, get notified. That last week you got a lot of notifications about me going live or posting stuff on the feed because of the simple fact that there was so much news regarding General Hospital and WWE.
I even saw it. I was like, what?
Yes. Just a lot of stuff going on. Go in the archives. I am not mentioning that here. Even though it's a soap opera, I mean, hell, the stuff that Vince McMahon is going through right now is more soap opera-ish than some of the stuff we've seen on General Hospital. if you read the actual court document, it might be better off in penthouse forums rather than the Port Charles. Or the Invader. But definitely go ahead and check out our archives, because all that stuff is there. Subscribe to the podcast. If you are a podcast listener, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Definitely check all that out. Also, go to our website, sudsandsquaredcircle.com. Over there, you'll find every link imaginable, every way to get in touch with us, and every way to listen or watch us. And the episodes actually go there as well. So definitely check that out. We are an affiliate for WWE Shop. So go ahead, sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestlingmerch. That does have our affiliate code embedded in there. And that gives us a commission. Go ahead and help us out with Buy Me a Coffee. That's buymeacoffee.com. And I haven't checked that in a while, but I realized I still have it. Thank you to James Law Jr. for sending us a little bit of money our way.
James, love you.
What? Yes.
I love James.
Yes, he is fantastic. He's always helping to support other podcasters.
He's like the king of content creation as far as like soap operas go. Like,
he is. Respect. And a lot of other stuff too.
Yeah, he does a lot. He does.
Check out JLJ Media here on YouTube.
He's putting on all those Zooms for different topics and stuff. Yes. I really respect that he does that, and he seems like he's successful at it.
Yep.
I tried one time. It didn't work out for me.
And then go ahead. Patreon.com/SudsandSquaredCircle. Sign up, get exclusive content, exclusive notes. I did put up a Squared Circle exclusive content news earlier today on Patreon, and also the show notes that I took during watching today's episode of Days of Our Lives. And I will start putting that up there as well for every soap opera that I watch. Just to kind of, give you guys some more content. And, your donation through Patreon would help us out tremendously as well. And then go ahead and buy our merch, subsquarecircle.threadless.com, and all of that. So, as always, we're going to end with the thankful minute. And, Christy, I'm going to put you on the timer.
Okay, I'm thankful I got to go to New York to attempt to meet Austin Butler. Didn't happen. That's okay. I prayed about it. I wanted to be okay with it, whether or not it happened. I am fine that it didn't happen. I was in the same room with him. I was 100 feet away. I was on the fifth row. Wasn't front and center, wasn't the first or second row, because if I was, I don't think I'd be able to breathe. It was nice. It was great. I met some friends who are also big Austin fans. My little Twitter group I met over there. And it was great. I had a great time. Got to see a Broadway show. Got to visit my friend Leonard, who's one of my Roswell friends. And overall, it was great. Great trip. It gave me the boost I needed to be productive for like a week. I think it's kind of wearing off. I feel like the high is kind of wearing off. So we'll see where I'm at the rest of the week. But yeah, it was great. And just very, very thankful. Feeling very blessed.
All right. That's your minute. And I will go ahead and give my thankful minute as well. So a minute on the timer. I'm thankful actually for quite a number of stuff myself. Getting back into church has been helpful a lot. Last week I also had a great workout buddy who I'm working to try to get a podcast with for health and wellness. He pushed me to hit personal records in the incline bench press as well as the dumbbell flat dumbbell press bench press as well. So I hit like three or four personal records last week in the power hour class on Tuesday. So I want, you know, and then also finding out that from the beginning of the month, I've lost 10 pounds. So getting back on track with that is definitely helpful. But overall, I'm just thankful to have a roof over my head and thankful that things are starting to pick up in terms of getting such media out there, just trying to get the listens, the watches, and grow the audience. So, you know, it is what it is. Fantastic. But we're about out of time. Anything you want to add in before we take off for the week?
No, except for the fact that I really want to meet Austin Butler and give him the gift that I raised over $300 on GoFundMe for. It'll happen though. So y'all just pray that if I go back to New York in June, that it's gonna happen. Putting it out there in the universe. So yeah. Absolutely. Anyway, though, I'm very grateful for this podcast. I've unfortunately lost some friends through Twitter and X and whatever, Discord or whatever, you know, quite a few months ago. But I'm grateful I have a place where I can, you know, discuss General Hospital every week and that some of you guys out there listen to us. And I'm grateful to David too, because he's also welcomed me onto Take Two. And I just haven't had the time to like always go and do it. But, you know, eventually maybe I'll make that a regular thing once a month or something. But yeah, I appreciate it. And all the work that you do, Vinny, for this podcast. So all I have to do is show up and be myself.
Absolutely. And then, as always, next Monday night, we'll be here 10 o'clock. I will be on Take Two Radio next Monday as well, 7 p.m. Take Two Radio Soaps and Review. That is on Blog Talk, right. 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Next Monday.
Is that Central or Eastern?
That is Eastern time. So it's 6 to 8 Central.
Mm,
and that'll yeah. actually be February 6th, I believe. Holy cow.
If I get back to working out, then I'd have to like do it right after work. Yeah, Mondays can be kind of tough.
And then also tomorrow night, 10 p.m., is Dockside at the Bay. Check that out. That goes live at 10 p.m. Eastern time right here where you're watching this show. So check that out. It is all about, we're watching, tomorrow's episode is about The Bay, The Beginning, Episode 3, which is actually subtitled Far From the Bay. So
Michael Caruso did that, right? The Bay? He's the one who's the, is that right?
No.
Am I correct on that? Or is Michael Caruso another?
I'm not sure of Michael Caruso, but.
I don't know if he worked on The Bay or not, because I did get to interview Michael Caruso once upon a time. I was looking through my old interviews on Liaison Radio, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, then you should talk to that guy. But
so The Bay, The Beginning was Gregory Martin.
Gregory Martin. Okay. I didn't know if Michael Caruso was the executive behind The Bay or not. I couldn't remember which one he did. Sorry.
No, not a problem.
Having a moment.
But Dockside at the Bay will be here tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Check it out. Again, this will go up on the podcast feed tomorrow. Thank you all for watching and listening, and have a great week, everybody. Enjoy your week in Port Charles and everywhere else that you listen or watch from. Have a great day. Have a great week, everybody. All right. Live stream is over and stopping the recording.